Is that a great name? Well, it's only good if you win. You know, you can only do. And we've won. Let me say, we've won. You know, you never like to say too early you won. We won. We won the bet. In the first hour, it was over. But we won. But they gave me a list of names of generals. Sir, you can pick the name you'd like, sir. I said, the name of what? The name of the attack on Iran, sir. And they gave me like 20 names. And I'm like falling asleep. I didn't like any of them. Then I see Epic Fury. I said, I like that name. I like that name.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, March the 12th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the first official statement from Iran's new Supreme Leader Khamenei, who said that Iran will continue to fight. And he also said that the Straits of Hormuz will remain closed, which has sent oil back up over $95 a barrel. I've actually seen some charts this morning. I saw we're having Brent over 100, but 95 and rising following Khamenei's announcement. So the Trump administration is now scrambling to get that oil, or to keep that oil, under 100. They cannot have the price of oil over 100 if they want to continue to fight this war. And so what do we get from Trump? We get a Truth Social post, which says the United States is the largest oil producer in the world by far. So when oil prices go up, we make a lot of money. But of far greater interest and importance to me as president is stopping an evil Iran from having nuclear weapons and destroying the Middle East and indeed the world. I won't ever let that happen. Thank you for your attention to the matter, President Donald J. Trump. So when the price of oil goes up, the United States is making money. That's Trump's message. So I stand corrected. It's not important for the United States and for Trump to keep the price of oil under 100. My bad. My bad. What terrible analysis, Alex. Terrible analysis. It benefits the United States to drive the price of oil up. higher. 150, 200, 250, 500. 500, I like it. I like it, $500 oil. We're making a lot of money. Well, Trump's friends, Trump's buddies, the energy oligarchs, big energy. Making a lot of money, right? I'm exaggerating things, but I think you guys get what I mean. Not the best of Truth Social posts from Trump. The price of oil going up is not going to be good for his MAGA base. They're not going to be happy with that one. So that was Trump's Truth Social post. Very, very odd, very strange. Some would say panicky post on Truth Social. Not so concerned with trying to put out news to lower the price of oil. Now it's just let's go with it. We're making money, so just let the price of oil go up. Anyway, that was what Trump said. And Trump also, according to Axios, he had a call with the G7. Oh my God. Now the G7 are getting involved. Oh, the G7 are now going to get involved. That means Macron and Starmer and who else? Maloney Is Maloney G7? I think she's G7. Mertz, BlackRock Mertz. So Trump consulted with the G7. Let's see what the results of that call were. Breaking: President Trump is enthusiastic about continuing the war in Iran for at least 3 to 4 weeks, even as oil prices rebound, per Axios. Details include: following a G7 call, President Macron said no one can tell what Donald Trump wants from this war. Ah, Emmanuel Macron. You fail to understand Trump's strategic ambiguity. He just doesn't get it. Macron, strategic ambiguity. Macron, that's the game that Trump is playing. 10D chess. Let's see. U.S. and Israel have not secured the 450 kilograms of highly enriched uranium that Iran holds. U.S. and Israel reportedly do not entirely agree on what winning looks like, because they have no idea what the objectives of this war are. They have not quite laid out the plan or the objectives, the goals, the tasks. No one seems to know. And we don't want to leave early, do we? We got to finish the job, right? Trump said. U.S. stocks are now down over minus 1% on the day. So I think that is the breaking news, at least at the time of this recording. And Trump, he gave a speech, a rally, actually. He's back on the road again. Trump is on the road again, and he gave a speech in Kentucky in support of Massey's opponent. He wants Massey gone, and so he is endorsing Massey's opponent. I don't know what the guy's name is. But Trump, he laid into Massey. He really went hard against Massey. And judging by the crowd at the rally, they weren't so enthusiastic about Trump's mocking, berating of Thomas Massey. But he did call Massey a pretty bad guy. I believe he called him an awful person. Anyway, that is what he said about Massey. And then, of course, he talked about the war in Iran. And he declared victory. He declared victory. The president of the United States said, "We won. We won. We won." I hope it's not too early to say that we won the war. But within the first hour, we won the war. He said that. He talked about how they came up with the name Epic Fury, because the Trump White House believes that's a good name for this operation, Epic Fury. And Trump said he was handed a list of names, and he went through the names, and he saw Epic Fury, and he said, "I like it. I like that name." That's what he said. "I like it. I like that name." So he said that about Epic Fury. He talked about how Iran has been destroyed. These are all slogans, right? The Navy's been destroyed. The Army's been destroyed. The leadership has been destroyed. They're unable to fight. They have no way of fighting anymore. He said all of that stuff. That is now just, these are just slogans and talking points, narratives that Trump is very good at. He's very good at these short slogans and narratives and talking points. He also said that there's a little bit left to do with regards to the war. We can't leave early because we still have a little bit left to do. And then he said the latest talking point, the latest narrative that they've come up with, which is that this is an excursion. It's not a war. It's not an operation. It's an excursion. It's an excursion. They like that one. They floated that one out a couple of days ago. And it seems like they liked the response. His communication team like the response from Trump saying that this conflict is a short-term excursion. Trump is going somewhere, but he had to take a detour. They decided to take an excursion, get rid of some bad people, but he'll be back on course to his final destination. But he had to take a detour, an excursion. That's what this conflict, this war is all about. It's an excursion. So Trump won the excursion. He was also asked by reporters about the airstrikes and the fact that Iran continues to fight, continues to launch missiles into Israel, into Oman. They hit Oman hard. Allegedly, they hit Oman. Iran says that when missiles are launched, usually they'll come out with a statement and say that they weren't the ones that launched these missiles. They're only attacking U.S. bases. But something hit Oman hard, or someone hit Oman hard, hit Iraq very hard. Iraq got hit so hard that they announced that much of their oil is now gonna go offline. Dubai, UAE got hit again. And Trump was asked about this. Iran's military completely destroyed, but they keep on fighting. And Trump put it out there. A big U.S. attack. He said that the United States could attack Iran so hard, they could hit them so hard, they could take out their electricity within an hour, and it would take Iran 25 years, is what he said, for Iran to turn the lights back on. The problem with doing that, according to the foreign minister, Araghchi, who took note of Trump's threat, he said that taking out the electricity of Iran would plunge the entire region into darkness. So that was Araghchi, the foreign minister's response to that statement from Trump. Let me see if I have some of his quotes here from this rally in Kentucky. Did I mention that it was in Kentucky? I said Kentucky, Massey, Kentucky. So President Trump on U.S. strikes on Iran. We've won. Let me tell you, we've won. You know, you never like to say how early you won. We won. We won the bet. In the first hour, it was over. We won the bet. Okay. Trump touts Iran excursion, hits GOP's Massey in first rally since launching strikes. I talked about that. Trump said, and by the way, do we have a great military? The best, better than any military in the world by far. I didn't know that we're going to have to be showing it off so much, to be honest. So he says, he said during the rally, it's an excursion, short-term excursion. We had to take a detour, an excursion. And then many pivots right away to saying how great the military is. So that seems to be the approach that his communications team has come up with as far as this war goes, trying to explain what this war is about. It's an excursion, a bet. A bet, an excursion. Excursion is what they're going with. He also did the hand gesture, by the way. He said, we did an excursion. You know what an excursion. What an excursion is. We had to take a little trip to get rid of some very evil people. They're very strong. They were going to try to take over the whole Middle East. That's a new one. They were going to take over the whole Middle East. He also does the hand gesture with the hand motion with the excursion. I talked about this a couple of days ago in my video when they first introduced the excursion talking point. He talked about how they don't want to leave early. We need to finish the job, right? Over the past 11 days, our military has practically destroyed Iran. Practically destroyed Iran. He also said that the Straits of Hormuz are in great shape. That's the first statement I've heard from either side, saying that the Straits of Hormuz is in great shape. Doesn't seem like it. But anyway, Trump says they're in great shape, the Straits of Hormuz. Even though the U.S. Navy has come out with statements, they came out with a statement again today. And they said that there's going to be no way that the U.S. military, the U.S. Navy, is going to be able to escort ships through the Straits of Hormuz. And Andy talked about sleeper cells. Got a question from a reporter, and he mentioned how there are sleeper cells inside the U.S. And I quote, "We know where most of them are. We've got our eye on all of them, I think." Well, go get them. If you know where they are, if you have your eye on all of them, I think, then go get them. Sleeper cells, we know where they are. We've got our eye on them. Well, where's Kash Patel? go grab them. So there's a story from the Wall Street Journal talking about how Chinese ships are able to move through the Straits of Hormuz. Iran's control of Hormuz means it's exporting more oil today than before the war. And this oil is benefiting China. It's on its way to China. Now, obviously, I cannot confirm this reporting from the Wall Street Journal, but we did a live stream, me, Alexander, and Brian Berletic. And our thinking is that this story is not correct. It doesn't look like there are any ships that are moving through the Straits of Hormuz. Maybe one, maybe two. But it looks like everything has pretty much come to a complete stop. But the Wall Street Journal is talking about China benefiting from this, China being the only country that is still benefiting from the Strait of Hormuz, and Iran is exporting, it's making money, and it can continue to fund its war. That sounds familiar, huh? Making money to fund its war. Sounds like Project Ukraine. Here we go, Brent. Brent is $100, over $100. The U.S. is going to release 172 million barrels. This was announced as well from its strategic reserves. Italy is going to release 9 million barrels from its strategic reserves. And the Pentagon has put a price tag on the first week of the war, and it comes out to more than $11.3 billion. In a Capitol Hill briefing, officials gave their most comprehensive assessment of the cost of the first 6 days of the war, but the number omitted several aspects of the operation. So $11.3 billion the first 6 days with an asterisk. It's going to be a lot more, I guess, is what they're saying. They omitted some things. So a little more than $11.3 billion. Probably significantly more than 11.3 million. That's just 6 days. We are now on day 12. So I guess you could, at a minimum, double that 11.3 billion. The Guardian is reporting that Steve Witkoff, Trump's envoy for everything, for all of the negotiations, call it Ukraine, call it Gaza, call it Iran, a man who was interviewed the other day by CNBC, and he was asked about the war, and his response was, "I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you. I have no idea what this war is about, when it's going to end. Don't have any info on the war." Anyway, according to The Guardian, he has contacted Araghchi, the foreign minister of Iran, two times to try and get some sort of a ceasefire. And according to The Guardian, Iran has said no. Looks like they don't even answer Witkoff's messages. Iran is becoming more defiant in face of U.S.-Israeli onslaught. Iran has spurned two messages from Donald Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, seeking a ceasefire as its leaders sense it is not losing the war and the U.S. president is at the minimum feeling the political pressure. The Guardian throws it out there, huh? The U.S. losing the war. Iran's sense is that it is not losing the war. They sense that they're not losing the war. That's coming from The Guardian. We also have the conclusion to the investigation of the horrific attack, missile strike, Tomahawk missile strike on the girls' school in Manab. Many missiles hitting this girls' school, killing over 160, 170 people, including most being young schoolgirls. The final investigation is saying that this was indeed the U.S.'s fault. This is coming from the NYT. U.S. at fault in strike on school in Iran, preliminary inquiry says. Outdated targeting data may have resulted in a mistaken missile strike, according to the ongoing military investigation, which undercuts President Trump's assertion that Iran could be to blame. So it's not AI. They're saying it's a mistake. Not AI. This was a human error. Outdated data, outdated maps, targeting. They thought it was part of the base, of a base nearby, without realizing that it had become a school about 10 years ago or 15 years ago. It was a school. It was turned into a school, and you had a playground there, and obvious. Should have been obvious that this was a school anyway. They're saying it's a human error and has nothing to do with AI. And somehow, all these things, they pass through multiple checks before a strike is green-lit. It looks like the checks failed. The whole process failed. So that's the New York Times is reporting on that one. Horrific. So let's shift gears, and how about we talk about Le Gobelin Vert, Le Barnum Vert. Zelensky gave an interview to a reporter complaining about Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban. He says Orban is to blame for Ukraine not getting the $90 billion loan, loan from the EU. Orban is blocking that. Orban is blocking Ukraine getting into the EU. Orban, Orban, Orban. That is Zelensky's complaint. Let me read you a quote from Le Gobelin Vert in my Zelensky voice. Orban is standing on the side of the Russian leader. He's blocking everything for Ukraine. Money, weapons, and our path to the EU. And he's personally sharing Russian narratives. Only one thing he doesn't do, he is not attacking us with missiles and drones. And he is not sending his soldiers, Mr. Journalist Man. I don't like Viktor Orban. I cannot get my money because of this man. So no need to worry, Le Gobelin Vert, because the EU, they have a backup plan if Orban continues to block the $90 billion loan, loan to Ukraine. It's not only Orban, it's also Fico, by the way. Why does Orban get all of the hate? How come you don't throw some hate towards Fico, Le Gobelin Vert? Come on. You're directing all of this anger towards Viktor Orban. Viktor Orban is saying, he's saying that his family is now getting death threats, by the way. No joke. He's actually saying that his family is being threatened by, I guess, by Zelensky's goons and all of the people around Zelensky. That's what I read. I actually saw a video of Orban. I believe he was calling one of his daughters, telling them not to worry about the threats. I'll try to find that post and I'll put it up on the screen. But But the EU, they have a backup plan. They have a plan B in case the 90 billion doesn't go through because of Orban. And the plan is, and I'm down with this plan. I like this plan. I like it. I like this plan a lot. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. So the plan is that countries, the Baltic countries and countries in North Europe will just give Zelensky money. They will loan Zelensky money, bilateral agreement, which I'm down for. So if the Baltic countries, if Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, if the North European countries, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, Netherlands, Finland, whatever, if they want to sit down with Zelensky and loan him money, because his government is going to be completely bankrupt come April, by the end of April, if they want to loan him money so he can keep things going, go ahead. I have no problem with this at all. He needs about 30 billion just to keep the lights on for his administration, and 10% for the big guy, but 30 billion for his government. And I'm not talking about weapons purchases and stuff like that, though there may not be any weapons to purchase anymore. From Bloomberg, Ukraine faces air defense squeeze as Iran war burns supplies. Zelensky actually said in this interview that he doesn't expect any more Patriot systems. Missiles, he says he can get missiles, but actual systems, Zelensky's saying forget about it. That's all going to the Middle East, to the war with Iran. And Zelensky put out some terms for Donbass. If Ukraine military is to leave Donbass, as per the Istanbul Plus June 2024 terms from Russia, he said then what Ukraine would get in return would have to be NATO membership, security guarantees, and NATO. He said NATO. That is the only thing, maybe the only thing that he could exchange in return for the military leaving the parts of Donbass that they still control. Of course, that's never going to happen, because the main goal, the main objective for Russia in this entire conflict has been and will forever be no NATO for Ukraine. So Le Koblenver said that as well. And then we had Dmitriev in Florida. He made a trip to Florida to meet with Witkoff and Kushner. Very dangerous to meet with Kushner. Very, very dangerous. What does Alex at Reportify call Kushner? He called him the Undertaker, the Grim Reaper. Anyone who meets with Kushner is in danger, it seems. Anyone that negotiates with Kushner. But anyway, Dmitriev, he gets along with Witkoff. And he met with Kushner as well. And Witkoff, he says that things are going okay today in Florida. The Russian delegation led by Special Envoy Kirill Dmitriev met with the U.S. delegation, including Special Envoy Witkoff, Jared Kushner, and White House Senior Advisor Josh Grunbaum. I forgot about Josh. It's not only Witkoff and Kushner, it's also Josh. So Dmitriev said that that the United States is starting to realize how important Russian energy is. They're starting to realize that you cannot take out Russian oil and gas. That was his message to the U.S. negotiating team. And I think it's now time for a clown world. Putin sends special envoy to U.S. begins to better understand key role of Russian oil. Sends envoy to Florida, and the U.S. is now starting to understand the key role of Russian oil. Yeah, if Trump moves forward with this temporary lifting of sanctions on Russian oil and gas. Boy, is the EU going to flip. Ursula and Kaya Kallas are going to lose their freaking mind. Ursula said in a speech yesterday that there's no way that the EU can lift sanctions on Russian energy, not even temporarily. No way, not going to happen. All of the EU leadership is saying no way. We don't care if our citizens have to pay 10 times more in electricity and gas and whatever, heating, we don't care. There's no way that we are going to lift the sanctions on Russian energy. So let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap up this video. So an update on the cash and gold trucks, the convoy that was making its way to Ukraine or making its way from Ukraine into Hungary. I think it was going from Austria through Hungary, transit Hungary into Ukraine, carrying 80 million in cash and gold. And then Hungary got a hold of this convoy, these trucks, and they asked the question, what is this money for? What is this money for, like Oblinver? And they never received an adequate response. Doesn't matter, because the latest update is that the trucks, they have been returned to Ukraine. There's a problem, though. There is a problem. They returned the vehicles to Ukraine, but there was no cash and gold inside these vehicles. They returned them empty. Nice. Very nice. I like it. I like it a lot. Can you imagine Zelensky receiving the vehicles from Hungary? Hey, Podolyak, we got our vehicles back. Let me get my hands on that gold and that cash. He opens the door, goes, looks inside. Podolyak, what is this? What is this? Where's my money? Where's my gold? Mr. President, Hungary's going to keep the money and the gold. What? What, Podolyak? This is not right. This is not good. I'm very angry, Podolyak. Very angry at this Orban man. Very, very angry. Oh, boy. Speaking about cash, we had the news that, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, Churchill, to be removed from UK banknotes in cash redesign. Come on. Not Churchill. Come on. Churchill? Oh, boy. Not a good day for the Green Goblin. Not a good day at all. They're removing Churchill. I'm Churchill. All history begins and ends with Churchill. I guess not anymore. The UK will remove Winston Churchill from banknotes, replacing him with creatures like hedgehogs and badgers. And here's a UK banknote with Sonic the Hedgehog, a British banknote with Sonic the Hedgehog. That's funny. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. No more Churchill. So I think I will end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. Link is in the description box down below. Also check us out on Substack. That link is also in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.